Welcome to College Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today will be Giannis Giannaeus and Guy Rofe, who was at St. Andrews yesterday for the match. This episode, we're going to be discussing the 1-0 loss performed against Birmingham City. This is a very disappointing defeat, and we will be discussing it shortly. We have much to discuss in this episode. Before we do anything, I have to welcome my co-host back to the show. First, Mr. Giannaeus, how you doing? How are things up in Canada?
My little tribute to Lee Marvin. I'm good. This is an exciting day, Russ. I know that you are probably haven't slept a wink last night with your beloved Patriots playing.
I haven't,
the Falcons.
By the way. That's a good call. I haven't.
But a disappointing loss nonetheless. I thought we might get something off Birmingham, but how Fulhamish can we play a team that hasn't won in it, go up to St. Andrews and lose? Go figure.
I know, it's typical. That's the best way to put it. It's typical.
Yeah.
It really is. All right, Guy, you were there. How are you doing, my friend? Welcome back to the show. I look forward to going through this with you.
Yeah, I was there. And like Giannis said, Fulhamish, you know, it's typical Fulham. You know, just when we need a win the most to take us, you know, 2 points to the top six in and around, which we still are anyway.
Right.
But just when we need it most, we go and lose to a team who haven't had their first win under their new manager until we come to their place. So, you know, typical for them.
Absolutely, my friend. And listen, I'm going to start with you. I just want to get your opening thoughts of what you watched at St. Andrews yesterday. It's funny, you know, it really came true. I listened to the match, but watching the replay definitely helped because it backed up what I listened to, that Birmingham City had a strategy. They were going to be direct. It was going to be a lot of route one, but they were also in the faces of the Fulham players. They weren't letting us play. And in a way, that's what you have to do if you want to play against us. And that's what I saw. So I want to get your view of what you watched.
What I watched, like you said, it was a game plan. And they were going to be physical. They were going to come at us like QPR did. And we tend to struggle against physical teams, mainly because, you know, they don't let us pass and they don't let us play our own brand of football. But at the same time, I didn't see us attack nearly as much as I've become accustomed to this season. I felt like we didn't really have too many shots. But again, that's been an issue this season. We don't shoot enough and pass too much. We overplay it a lot of the time. We can talk about dirty tackles and everything like that, and definitely the referee. But in the long run, Birmingham executed their game plan.
They did,
and they got the result with a bit of help from the ref. But I'm just biased.
Well, that's the whole thing, you know. Fulham liked to play football, and they were not given that opportunity because of the opponent. The opponent had a very good game plan. They executed it, and it worked. Let's be honest there. They got all 3 points because of the way that they played. They got the victory. We will be discussing some situations in the second half about the ref, but in the end, Birmingham City did what they had to do to get the victory. All right, Giannis, over to you. Your thoughts about what you watched.
Well, it's a disappointing result and not an inspired performance against a team who have been on a terrible run. It always disappoints me, though, when home teams set up shop and park buses to stop teams, visiting teams, especially when we were 8th and 9th at the time. But I think it's a measure of how poorly Birmingham City have been playing. And, you know, the same thing sort of happened against Burton Albion on Wednesday, although I'll give them some credit because they are a small club with few resources, but it was really no excuse for Birmingham City playing as, you know, negative as they did to try and stop us. They got the points, great. Field wasn't great, but having said that, we didn't deserve anything out of this game. And then we could have got a point, and then Ryan Fredericks had a brain fart, and then, and then all of a sudden now you're chasing the game with 10 men. And I actually would have liked to have been a fly on the wall when Slavisa got back to the changing rooms, because I'm sure he had a few choice words for Ryan. I'm not sure what he was thinking. But when you do stuff like that, you're letting your teammates down, you let your fans down. And instead of hopefully getting 3 points up there, which we still had a chance of getting, I thought, we come back with nothing.
Yeah, Giannis, what's frustrating about this is how frustrated Fulham were in the first half because of the way Birmingham City were playing. The second half, they were starting to get a foot in the game. They were starting to control the game. That's the part that got me, Giannis, was that I could see us scoring a goal and winning this game until that happened. That's what's the frustrating part. You know, yes, we could have gotten the point, but the victory was there, my friend. The 3 points were there until the red card.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's a brain cramp, and you're not going to see the top teams like Newcastle, like Brighton, like, you know, Leeds, Huddersfield, Wednesday. They're not making those mistakes.
No, they're not.
And we are. I'm getting a little bored with fans right now about how good a team we are, and yet we are where we are. So, we're not out of the race yet. It's not all doom and gloom. But, Fredericks is out for 3 games now, so, you know, some readjustment required. Adoy naturally comes in to right back, and hopefully Syria gets some playing time. And we've got Wigan next Saturday, Wigan, and then I think it's Forest. Two extremely winnable games. And maybe 6 points will get us back in the picture. But it's a disappointing weekend to reflect on for sure.
It is, Giannis, and it's funny because I'm glad that you brought up Burton Albion because I thought that was a good example of us figuring a way to beat a team like that. And then you have a similar situation and you can't do it this time. Part of it, obviously, the match changes with the red card, but still, this was another winnable match. I marked this one down. I said they can beat this team, especially when I saw the starting 11, and that's going to allow me to go back to you because I want to talk about the starting 11, not just for Fulham, but also for Birmingham City. So I want to get your thoughts on the starting 11. The reason why I bring up Birmingham City is because their starting center-back pair were out injured. This was an opportunity here to take advantage of a 38-year-old center-back and another center-back that is, I believe, is a natural left-back, a full-back. And they could not take advantage of it. When I saw the starting 11 of both teams, I thought, here we go. Here's an opportunity for Fulham. So I want your thoughts on both.
It's funny, though, because my girls' team had a game last night, an indoor game, and we were top, hadn't been beaten. And we played the team that was bottom, hadn't got a point, and had only scored one goal, and we drew 1-1 with them. And then I still scratch my head. And it's that kind of thing. It's that kind of situation where, you know, I used to tell players, you know, excuse my German here, but don't play as if your shit doesn't smell. It does smell. If you look at a team on paper, whether you're home or away, and think, well, you know, they've got injuries and they got people out. Sometimes that's where they're the most dangerous because they've got nothing to lose. They probably didn't expect to get anything. They thought, well, if we battle like lions, we'll get something out of this against a team that's in form. And as it turns out, Birmingham City really didn't have that much to do because we never ever looked like we were in the races. Yeah. We never got out of first gear for some reason. You know,
especially
there were pockets
of
play where we got possession, but we just didn't look dangerous enough to create openings. Whereas Button had a very good game for us. See, they created enough chances to have buried us yesterday. And against a team that was so out of form, it's not even funny. You know, and with a player the name of David Davis, which is another thing altogether. It was not just a disappointing result, but it was a disappointing performance. But I think from time to time, you're going to have games like that. The thing now, the key will be, you know, how do we brush that off? How does Slavisa get ready for Wigan? Is there anybody else going to be coming in? Maybe free agents out there we know. And see what happens, but it'll be a weekend to reflect because they didn't have their strongest lineup out, and you know on paper we should have thumped them, but we never showed up.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that, Giannis. And thoughts on our starting 11? You know, Ryan Sessegnon came on for Scott Malone. Florida Ayite was again on the bench. He went with his normal setup, except for Sessegnon coming in, and he had PAs on play in that position. And eventually, in the match, you have the substitution where Ayite comes back on along with Malone. But those are the two moves that I was curious about. How about you?
I didn't agree with Sessegnon starting for Malone. Malone's in form at the moment. Malone has been scoring goals. The fans love Malone. Away game, tough field, not so great. I would have played Malone. That's just me. Apart from that, midfield. Sorry, the lineup was okay. The only question mark, irony of ironies, for me actually would have been Ryan Fredericks, because I think Ryan Fredericks in the last four or five games has gone off the boil a little bit temperamentally. And I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, sometimes, you know, like the Chris Martin situation, we just don't know what's going on, you know, when they get in their vehicles and they drive home. But there's something that seems to have changed in Ryan Fredericks' psyche. I don't know whether there are personal issues at home or there's issues with the management or whatever it is. He's just not looked the same, and his behavior at times has been petulant.
Yeah.
And that challenge yesterday was petulant, and it cost the team. And, you know, in a fight to get to a playoff spot, discipline is as important as anything else. And, you know, in a game where we did have a chance of getting a point, it's just this moment of sheer bloody madness has suddenly put us behind the eight ball. And now it's forced Slavija to rejig the lineup. So I was a little thinking about Fredericks, about what you do there, because he's been off the ball. The good news, if there's anything, is he's going to be gone for 3 weeks or three games. Maybe he can, you know, park his little arse down and reflect on what's been going on. And I'm sure he got a bollocking from his teammates as well, because it was a bad challenge at a bad time, and I don't know what he was thinking.
Reckless. It was reckless.
It was daft. Daft as Donald Duck.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, there's no getting around the challenge, you know, and I'm glad that you brought this up, Giannis, because I was thinking about this as well. You know, I saw others on Twitter mention this about Ryan Fredericks, that he'd been acting up a little bit lately, and then I had to think about it, and I was like, yeah, he has been. So maybe this is kind of a warning sign going into it, and then so maybe that was your mindset. You were seeing the warning signs, Giannis.
Yeah, he's gone off the board, and I don't know. You know, I mean, we don't know. It's like, you know, when you teach, you know, when the students leave your classroom, you don't know what goes on, you know, in the four walls of their own homes. We know that, and there just seems to be something that's gone wrong, and he's just seemed to have gone off the boil, and it's been reflective with this. Late challenges, dissent with referees, petulance, and unfortunately the culminating activity resulted in his sending off yesterday, and he can't have any complaints for it.
No.
You know, he deserved the round. It was, you know, that simple.
Okay, my friend. Guy, over to you. Your thoughts on the starting 11, and what was going through your mind when you were at St. Andrews? Did you agree with it? Did you have feelings like Giannis said, you know, that maybe this was the match not to start Ryan Fredericks? Why didn't he start Scott Malone? I brought up Floyd Ayite instead of Piazon. What were your thoughts when you looked at it?
Yeah, exactly what you just said. You know, Scott Malone and Sessegnon. Scott Malone's on form. He scored in the last match.
And he's a Villa fan, by the way. He's a Villa fan that can't stand Birmingham City.
Even better. It's like, what is it? Troy Deeney scored against Villa last year. And he's a Birmingham fan. He went mental at their fans. So, make that get, you know, him pumped up for it. He's on form. That, you know, that's it. He's scored in the last match. He's consistently playing at least better than Fredericks is right now. And Sessegnon, while I'm all for bringing the youth in, I wouldn't put him ahead of someone who is on good form like that. And with Ayite and Fredericks, you know, Ayite, I wanted to see him in anyway, just because I'm a fan of his and he's back from Africa. You know, I understood him being on the bench against Burton, but I feel like he would have had enough time to recuperate by yesterday. Regarding Fredericks, he's been off the boil in his performances, as well as his temperament as well.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, let's now go through our first half observations. I'm going to lean on you a little bit here, my friend, because you were there. We watched the replay, but I definitely want your take on it first, and I'll just mention a few key moments. And let's just start off here. My thoughts, and I definitely want your thoughts, Guy. I actually thought that Birmingham City were the better team in the first half. I thought they dictated their style over our style. So that's why I gave them the edge there in the first half. But definitely want your take on that. They started off strong. However, the first key moment for Fulham came in the 12th minute. This is an opportunity with a header by Stefan Johansson. I actually think he should have done a little bit better here. but unfortunately he did not score there. 5 minutes later, you had another situation with Chris Martin in the 17th minute, like I mentioned, but he misses wide. Then you have the opportunity 1 minute later from Birmingham City with the Jukic header, which actually hit the crossbar. Maybe they should have scored there. Those were the three key moments that I took out of the first half, other than really Birmingham City dictating their style over our style. I thought we had some moments, but overall, I thought they were the better side, Guy. I want your take.
Yeah, definitely the better side. In the sense that we didn't make at all much of an impact on the game. We didn't put our foot down on the game. I don't want to say we let them play, but you know, we didn't get over their style. You know, we didn't force them into letting us play. That we you know, they just generally executed their game plan better than we did.
Absolutely.
And like what Yanis said, we never got past first gear in the whole match, let alone the first half. So yeah, definitely agree. They were the better team, as much as it pains me to say it.
Okay, very good. Yanis, over to you. What your first half observations? The one thing that stood out to me watching the replay, and I heard it when I listened to the match live, was that, you know, Kuchak, you know, kicks it long, and Jukic actually just flicks it on left and right, and it kept happening over and over again. And they were, like I mentioned, in my opinion, dictating the style, forcing their style on Fulham. And then on top of it, when we got the ball, they were on top of us. So they had the blueprint, I guess you could say almost the QPR blueprint of not giving us any space, my friend. That's what I saw in the first half.
Yeah, that seems to be the playbook right now on us. It's close space down, give us a little time, hustle Harry, get away with tackles you think you can get away with if the referee isn't legally blind or his assistant refs aren't.
We'll talk about them in the second half.
Yeah, but to give them credit, they imposed their style and they had a good first half. They were the better side first half, and probably Zola, who I think is a very good manager, but although I do think Gary Wright was really screwed out of a job up at St Andrews.
Totally agree.
Zola probably sitting there going, "Well, this isn't the side I've had for a month or two. What the hell's going on here?" And they played well, and we looked a little lost. It was almost like, we good win up at Burton. And we thought, well, you know, we've got two away games in a week. We've got our one win. We can just sit and have a little bit of a laugh. Well, unfortunately for us, the teams above us are winning. And they're not winning necessarily convincingly, but they're finding ways to win or pick up points. And it's just as it looked as though almost, and I'm not going to blame Slavisa for this, I think the players looked like they weren't mentally into it. They just, they're out for a little bit of a stroll and Birmingham are up for it. In the first half, to be honest, I think had we gone a half time a goal down, I don't think it would have looked out of place. We just didn't look like we were in it, and that's why I was hoping Slavisa gave him a bollocking in a half time and said, "Look, this isn't Burton playing in front of 3,500, or you know, a bigger ground now, bigger club, and they're desperate to win because they're sliding." And but second half, it was more or less the same, But I got no complaints about half time. If Birmingham had been a goal up, I'd have said, "Well, they've taken the lead, with the run of play, they did certainly deserve to go into the half at least a goal up."
I'm not going to disagree with that, Yanis, based on what I watched, and I want to go back to you because talking about the first half and then halftime, how Slavisa probably reacted to them, because I think that they came out much better in the second half, based on what I watched. But I want to ask you. You're Slavisa, you're a coach. Would you have changed things at halftime, or would you have done what he did? He waited a little bit, I want to say around the 60th minute, to make his changes. Would you have made it at halftime?
That's a great question. I'm a bit more, as a coach, I'm a bit more impulsive. If it looks like it's not working, you know, you're either going to give them, make changes, you're going to give them a bollocking and say, okay, we're going to give you 10 minutes, and if I don't see what I want, I'm going to make some wholesale changes. I think he's probably done the former and said, look, we've got to start picking up the tempo. And I think the problem here was two things I identified. I thought the passing wasn't quick enough, and I thought the movement off the ball wasn't quick enough either. It was too ponderous. And against a team against like Birmingham on a field like that, you're just playing into their hands. The secret to our success is very, very quick movement. Lots of 1-2s, lots of overlaps, and lots of good movement off the ball. It's like mama's favorite pasta. When she deviates from the recipe, it just doesn't taste as good. And unfortunately, here the game seemed slow. And every time we do that, whether it's against them or the Ha-Has, we run into trouble.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's what happened. He probably said, "Look, pick up the pace. Let's be a little bit quicker in terms of passing. Let's be a little bit more urgent." And that doesn't mean long balls. But then at some point he realized he had to make changes because it just didn't seem to be working out.
It's interesting because I was thinking about this, man, please, Savisa, make a change at halftime. Change the game. You know,
yeah.
Bring on Ayite like he did. Bring on Malone like he did. He waited to the 60th minute. But to your point, Giannis, he probably, you know, we're not in the mind of Savisa, but he probably wanted to see how they would react. And they did react, but at some point, then he's probably thought that it was time to make the change, and a good time to change is obviously 60 minutes in, so that's when he did it. But I was thinking maybe a little bit more urgency. You know, I'm second guessing the manager. You know, who am I to second guess him? But I was hoping he made a change at halftime. He's done it before, but he decided to stay the course and see how they worked it out, and then make the change. Oh, okay, Guy, over to you. I want your thoughts about that. What was going through your mind at halftime? Did you think that Savisa was going to make the change? Did you want him to make a change?
At halftime, just to be a fly on the wall in the dressing room. I'm always like that whenever we've had a bad first half or a bad match in general. I just love to be a fly on the wall in the Fulham dressing room. Because I have this perception of Savisa, like he's a Serbian hitman. That's what I call him. I would honestly love to see, like if someone filmed one of his halftime team talks or something, I'd love to see that. But regarding halftime yesterday, I felt like it wouldn't be a bad move if he made any halftime subs, because no one had stood out as being terrible. No one had, you know, stood out for the wrong reasons. But when second half came around and there was no halftime substitutions, I didn't really see anything wrong because, you know, we weren't desperately in need of a change, in my opinion.
Okay. Listen, I understand that. You know, there's that theory to stay the course and see how things work out. And that's what he did here. And, like you mentioned, you know, it ended up, you know, in the end, he does make the change. But they did come out strong. So he did get his message across, obviously, because they certainly played better and they were moving quicker to begin the second half. So that's going to lead me to go through some key moments in the second half. And I'm going to stop at a couple key moments and I want to talk about a couple of them in succession because I think it's important to. But I'm just going to mention a few to start off, Guy, and then I'll go to you and Giannis and get your thoughts about these two key moments I want to talk about. Let's start in the 48th minute. Kevin McDonald has a shot that goes over the goal. And then in the 54th minute, Chris Martin has a header that just goes wide. So like I mentioned, Fulham were definitely looking a little bit better. And then only 2 minutes later, you have the PA's on header that goes over the net. This is another opportunity, just playing a little bit better. Then you have these two situations that I want to focus on and get your thoughts on. Let's start with the 59th minute. There's a challenge on Chris Martin from behind by David Davis. And he goes down pretty hard. And, you know, I watched this a few times because I wanted to get a good look at this. And David Davis did not get a yellow. He got nothing for this. And looking back at it, I don't know what the ref was thinking because he should have at least gotten a yellow. Because this was not a good challenge by David Davis. But nothing's called there. Then, of course, we have the situation in the 67th minute, the red card, as Ryan Fredericks goes after, I forget the player. Who am I forgetting, Giannis?
No, I'm having a senior moment as well.
Is it Craig Gardner?
Yeah, it would have been Gardner, yeah.
Okay, I was having a senior moment too. It was Craig Gardner, and he was late here, and honestly, you know, this is on him. As Steve Lydiard, our co-host, messaged me, you know, don't give the ref the opportunity to make a call. Basically, I'm paraphrasing, but he was late here, and this is not a good challenge. This was a reckless challenge. I didn't think it was a red. We can discuss it if it was a red or not, but. You know, he makes the call red and he's sent off. The reason why I'm talking about these two moments is that I was also talking to Steve. I wanted Steve to check this out because he is a ref. He's one of our co-hosts. And I asked him about the first challenge. And he said that these are very similar challenges. And the fact that the first one wasn't even given a card at all, it doesn't make sense to me. So I want to get your thoughts, both of you, on both challenges. Because one obviously changed the game. The red card changed the game. My only thought on all of this is that no excuses here. Fulham lose the match, you know, regardless. I just want to talk about the situation because this was a mistake by Ryan Fredericks. You know, it was a reckless challenge, so he is at fault here. But I just want consistency from the ref here. If he's going to make one call, I think he should make the other. So, Giannis, I'll go to you first. Yeah. Just the lead up, you know, again, I thought Fulham came out strong. Like I said, I thought they were heading in the right direction. But then you have the situation with Chris Martin. Then you have the other situation with Ryan Fredericks. Talk about this. Are these situations similar? Am I wrong to call out the ref a little bit here?
You're not wrong. I think I thought they were very similar, and I'd have given both of them red cards.
Okay.
I think the challenge on Martin was appalling. And I'm not sure, again, I'm not sure where the ref was from, but I'm sure I could find out in terms of Andy Madley. I'm not sure where he lives, but if I could get hold of him, I'm sure I could get him some nice local optician's appointments for his next game. Maybe the use of a stick and a dog might help him, because there's no way that he's seen the Fredericks and not seen the Davis one as well. I thought the Fredericks one was a red. It's a stupid challenge. It's a stupid challenge. It's petulant, if anything, really. And you're away from home as well. You've got to remember this. You're away from home. The home fans are going to have an impact. You know, the timing was wrong. It was just awful. But having said that, I thought the Davis one was a red. Now, if that's given a red, they're down to 10 men.
Right.
And now you've got a completely different ball game. Because now you've got, with the subs that came on, obviously with Malone and Aiti and then Syriac, now, of course, we're dictating the play. As soon as Fredericks went off, now we're down to 10 men. We're having to rejig things. So I thought that I tend to be fairly supportive of refs. I thought they were, they weren't appalling calls. I thought they were inconsistent calls. And that drives me nuts. If the calls are consistent, I can deal with it. But if you're going to call the same for one and not for the other, then that pisses me off. And, you know, I know it's difficult to be a ref. I'm not going to shit on them. But these are big games. You know, there's a lot at stake. I mean, get it right. Get it right. I was watching a game last night, Russ. I was watching a hockey game. I was actually, it was the Bruins against the Maple Leafs. Where there was a call that was made, and firstly there was a non-call made, and then a player that shouldn't have been on the ice was, and the Leafs manager went absolutely ballistic, and I could lip reading, and he's going, why can't you be consistent? Why can't you be consistent? Now, it didn't cost the Leafs the game, but as a coach, he was. I mean, at the end of the game, and they'd won it. He was seething. He was ready to get out on the ice and tackle the refs. And that's the sort of thing that annoys coaches. And that's what Slavisa would have looked at. Well, if that challenge from Fredericks was a red, which it was, then the Davis one had to be two. And, of course, the timing of it would have meant that they were down to 10 men. And then we really could have dictated taking the lead and it would have been lights out. So I do believe there were red cards, but I thought the refereeing was poor. And at the end of the day, the inconsistency helped. To get us to the defeat. Having said that, of course, I don't think we... You know, on the basis of the way we played yesterday, we necessarily deserved anything from it anyway.
I agree with that. I don't think we deserved anything, but I just want consistency when I'm watching a match. When I'm listening to a match, I just want consistency. That's why I wanted to talk about this. And I mentioned to you off air the situation in the NHL because it happens all the time. Just be consistent. If you're consistent, I don't have any issues with it. And on top of it, oh, by the way, there was a push on Ryan Fredericks during the whole melee with the red card situation, and nothing happened to him on that either. So again, that player got off free, and I do not know why. That's why I'm talking about just be consistent. And honestly, Giannis, I could see why you're saying it's a red card. I know I said that it wasn't, but I could see your point because it can be called that way. So definitely you have a good, I trust your judgment on that, even though I said, hey, maybe it's a yellow card. Maybe that's just wishful thinking on my part, But I could see why it was called a red card.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, you've got assistant referees there as well, Russ. I mean, they've got to be able to, that's the whole point of having three referees.
Right.
So, you've seen something. Somebody, if he's been slightly...
But Giannis, that's also a point in this. I'm sorry to break in because this is something that Steve messaged me as well. He thought there was a rush to judgment here. And he said the assessor will look at that because he went for the red card very quickly after the players came to him. It didn't look like he took his time to make a decision. And that is something that bothered me about that as well. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, and you're right. And that, the speed of it was a little concerning. And the point is, you've got the three refs out there. If you're not so sure, surely one of the others has seen it, from the angle. And have a conference. The old NFL musings. It's better to get the right call.
Yes.
It doesn't get it right. Yeah, I mean, even if it's got to take 2-3 minutes, whatever, get it right. It's better to get it right than make an impulsive judgment and then après facto, in hindsight, you realize it was you screwed up the call.
Yeah.
So, but that didn't happen, and that's why Slavija had nothing to say about the ref yesterday.
He didn't. He didn't say anything. He actually. I want to say he was professional because he didn't. He could have, but he didn't. And I actually like that he didn't. He kept it to himself. All right, Guy, over to you. I want to get your thoughts about these situations. And I'm glad that I remembered to talk about David Davis pushing Ryan Fredericks because nothing happened to him on that. So there are a couple situations with that player. All I want, Guy, is consistency. So you're there at the grounds. What was going through your mind when you saw the challenge on Chris Martin, and then also the situation with Ryan Fredericks? I thought it was reckless. Giannis thinks it's a red. So what are your thoughts?
Well, when I saw the challenge on Chris Martin, at least looking in hindsight, that's the type of challenge that you do on FIFA when you're 5-0 down in the 90th minute and you don't even care about if you get sent off or not. But with the Fredericks challenge, I've just watched it back a few times. It is obvious. It's a stonewall red card. There's no complaining. I said on Facebook to you that it looked like he was the one fouled from my angle, but no. Looking at that from the camera, it's just no arguing it. You mentioned David Davis, pushing Fredericks. Yeah, again, that's what was it, misconduct, whatever you call it. If he didn't get a yellow already for the challenge on Chris Martin, he should at least get a yellow for, pushing a player or something like that.
And that's what's crazy about this guy. I remember listening to it, but until I watched the whole situation, that's why I want to talk about these two together. Because, I don't want to, I don't want to put the blame on the refs for Fulham losing the match. Like Giannis said, they didn't deserve anything from this match. So this is more about what Birmingham City did. But when I'm watching a match and listening to a match, I do want consistency. And we didn't get this here. These were hometown calls. That's the way I look at it, Guy. Would you agree with that? That this just felt like a hometown ref. That's what we would say here.
Yeah, I remember saying that the ref is a Brummy or something like that at some point in the game. And with grounds and fan bases like Birmingham and, up north, where they're really loud, really, they really get on the ref's back and all of that, pressure them into decision. They definitely could have and probably did influence them. The police always come around my house.
I always get worried. I always get worried when I hear that. I do.
why. The crowd and the fans and the ref. I wouldn't be surprised if it was just an impulsive decision based off of, you know, the players and the fans just crowding around him and everything. But at the same time, it is, you know, you can't complain about the challenge. It's definite red. But again, David Davis, consistency, it all factors into the game, because that was a game-changing moment. Like you said, you know, we were putting our foot down in the game. We were finding our feet until the red card. You know, we had a few chances. We put them over or whatever, but we were making chances more than we did in the first half.
Absolutely. That's what's frustrating about this guy. That,
and we got Fredericks running down the wing with Aite or Luko, all of that type of stuff. You know, you got overlapping runs, everything like that. Just so much could have happened if the red didn't come out, or if there had been another red card. You know, if David Davis had got sent off, then fine. You know, at least decisions are consistent. But when there's one and the other, you just got to question the ref.
Yeah, and that's why it's fair, I think, that we talk about this. You know, I'm questioning it because I'm looking at it and thinking, well, wait a minute here. If you're going to call it one way, you have to call it the other way too. And he didn't do that in this match, in my opinion. And Guy, you know, that's what's so frustrating about this. I'm glad that you mentioned this, because there were some opportunities early on. Like I talked about from the beginning of the show, we were building something. I could feel that there might be an opportunity to score that goal, get that match winner. Because we looked more likely to score in that second half, I thought, especially watching it back, it felt that way. And what makes it disappointing also with the challenge from Ryan Fredericks is where it happened. It happened, you know, right in the middle of the pitch. You know, it's like, what is he doing? So again, it's a reckless challenge. The player deserves blame here, but you also have to think about what's going on with the refs here. Sorry, I had to bring that up, guys. And now let's finish up talking about the second half, because obviously right after that, Birmingham City were going for that goal, and then it came, because they were really putting the pressure on us. And Ajukwuits, who actually I thought had a decent game for them, scored the goal to give them the lead, and then eventually they would hold on. But that actually came in the 79th minute. You have that goal by Ajukwuits, and Fulham actually had a few opportunities, but the biggest one came at the very end, the second minute of stoppage time, Florida Aite. I don't know if you had a good look at this guy. What are your thoughts on him? He should have at least had a shot on target. I don't know. Again, this is a bad miss by Aite, because I really thought this was the opportunity to score, and it just goes wayward, wide. It was a horrible shot by him. So I want to get your thoughts about the end of the match.
I walked out I didn't walk out. I watched it, you know, downstairs. I watched the rest of the match. After Syriac put his shot over the bar, you know, I went downstairs and just watched the rest of the match on the TV. But it was, you know, we were, again, trying knocking at the door, or at least trying to. No, put balls in the box, get something, scrape something, like we always tend to do. You know, we scored so many goals in extra time. You know, you kind of think, or, you know, subconsciously feel we can do it again, because it's happened so many times this season already. And whether or not that would have been a fair result, a draw, I'm not sure. But you take it, regardless if it's fair or not, all things considered. When you're 10 men, when you've got 10 men, and when you've been dominated, and, you know, when you know you've had a bad performance, you bite the person's hand off if they gave you a point.
Right. No, very good there, my friend.
Cops around again.
All right. Giannis, over to you. I want to get your thoughts on the ending of this match. You know, like I mentioned, there was a good opportunity by Florida Aite. I'm glad that that guy mentioned Syriac coming on, and he actually, you know, had a shot that unfortunately did not come off. But again, They kept trying to get that equalizer, but it just wasn't their day, my friend. So talk about the end of the match.
If I was a wolf, I'd howl. What a miss. I mean, summed up the day, really. Summed up the day. You're like, you've got to be, you know, you're a top professional. You've got to be able to get a better F on the net than that. It was a microcosm of the misery that was the journey up BM1. You know, did we deserve a point? I don't think so. But sometimes, you know, how many times have we been on this show and talked about teams coming to the cottage or us playing away from home? And we felt it was daylight robbery that we played a team and who should never have got anything out of it, but they have. So if we got a point, it might have been daylight robbery. But sometimes it doesn't go that way. Yeah, I mean, we didn't. If we got the point, I'd allow it a good laugh.
But they didn't deserve
having it. Having said that, well, terrible finishing. Yeah. But honestly, we got a saying back in England: couldn't score in a brothel, and that just summed it up. It summed it up, and you know, we leave with the tail between our legs again. And I wouldn't have wanted to be in the change room when Aiti got back. You know, I'm sure Slavisa went, look, are you kidding me? My mum might have scored from that range. So, you know, she's thousands of miles away. It was just a symptomatic of this. It was slap happy, sloppy performance from most of the players. And but for Button, I think we might have been given a really good hiding. So, you know, we just got to brush it off. And now, let's see what happens for next week. I'm sure we're going to come out fired up for the next two home games. I'm sure we're going to be up for that. And, you know, isn't it irony of ironies we couldn't score yesterday and Corley Woodrow scores the winner for Burnley?
Christensen got the assist as well, didn't he?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, amazing. And I scratched my head because, Russ, you know I've been as vociferous as most about this.
I know.
I've been going on about this. And it may be because the players don't start, but these are good players. And I'm delighted for Corley. I really am. He scores a bundle of goals for Burton. But in the meantime, we could have been playing till next Christmas and we wouldn't have scored. So it was just one of those games. Forgettable games.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to ending the show that we can just move on from this match. But before we do, I just want to go over the full-time stats and then quickly rate Slavica, and then we're going to finish this show up. So I'm just going to read quickly the full-time stats. Possession 51% to 49% in favor of Fulham, so it was real close. Shots in favor of Birmingham City 18 to 13. On target, this one stands out, 8-2 in favor of Birmingham City. Corners 8-4 in favor of Birmingham City. Crosses pretty even here, 21-20 in favor of Birmingham City. Tackles 18-15 in favor of Birmingham City. Attempted passes pretty much dead even, 346 to 345 in favor of Birmingham. Attacking passes, 138 to 121 in favor of Birmingham City. Passing accuracy, this is a stat that I always like to look at. Fulham like to be around 80. They're at 73% in this match and 65% for Birmingham City. And aerial duels, 28 to 14 in favor of Birmingham City. And that's a little story in itself because they were very good in the air. Yeah. All right, Giannis, what stands out to you? I want to say, actually, what stands out to me? The aerial duels.
Yeah. For one, the aerial duels and the number of shots on target, two, which I think is poor. And as I look through all these statistics and look through the game, the thing that struck me is that Birmingham City fans must be very disappointed in terms of where their team are now, because they're actually they should be up the table a little bit more. They are a better team than I think their record shows. They fought us toe-to-toe. Even though we didn't show up, they did put in a really good shift yesterday, so they must be a head-scratcher. The other thing, of course, you know, another stat, I know you didn't mention, but the attendance was 17,000. Yeah. And, you know, you've really got two teams in Birmingham. I mean, you're lucky to have anything in Birmingham, to be honest. If you've ever been there, you'd know why. But you've got Villa and Birmingham City, so you've got two teams in the same division, and you're only getting 17,000 out. You know, and that stadium must have looked cavernous yesterday, and that's disappointing too. But to only get two shots on net against them with a makeshift back four, you know, it's not good enough. You're not going to win many games, you know that. So again, comes back to the old summation that it was a day to forget.
Okay, over to you, Guy. thoughts on the full-time stats. What stands out to you?
The saves. Credit to David Button for once. I'm actually very good at them.
He played well.
Yeah, he did play well, was it? The goal they scored is a ball across goal, you know, and there's only so much you can do. And the attempt in the first half that hit the bar, if that had gone in, I wouldn't have put it against him.
Yeah.
But, you know, he genuinely had a good game among the rest of the team that didn't show up.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, let's end with rating the coach here, rating Slavica, because I don't like giving a man of the match when we've lost a match. So, you know, let's go beyond that. Let's just talk
Brian
about
Brian Frederick's just because he got sent off.
Oh boy. Okay. Let's rate the manager though, Guy.
Yeah, my rating, give him a 4, just below halfway, because his team talks, at least most of the time, tend to pump us up and have us coming out guns blazing the next half, but did nothing today for whatever reason. So, 4.
Okay, very good. Over to you, Giannis. Thoughts on Slavica's job in this match?
Well, Scott Parker's my man of the match, for sure. Brilliant game. In terms of Slavica, I'm going to give him a 6. I'm going to be a little bit more generous. I wasn't comfortable with Sessegnon starting. I said that I'd preferred Malone. The Fredericks thing I thought was just worrying me a little bit. But he did make subs eventually. And at the end of the day, the manager can only do so much. Once you cross those white lines, it's down to your players. And the players collectively laid really, with the exception of Button and Kearney, I thought that the team laid a collective egg. And Slavica can't go running around the pitch. There's only so much he can do. So I'm going to give him a 6. I think the players have to take it on the chin. They've got to take it for what it was. It was an under par performance. It wasn't good enough. It wasn't consistent the way we've been playing recently. And it was an important game considering where we are on the table. It's put us 6 points now behind Wednesday. We've got 17 games left. We just got to brush it off. But, you know, the players have to be professionals. I mean, Chris Martin yesterday I thought was awful, as an example.
Okay.
He was just one of several, but he stood out for me as a player just not really lead-legged. And you know, you got to play, you got to give it everything, and they did, and a lot of our players just didn't show up.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right. Instead of doing final thoughts, I want to do things a little bit different. I want a final topic, and I think this is an interesting one, so I want to pose it to both of you. That's how we're going to finish up the show. I watched the Kevin McDonald interview that's on the Fulham website, and I found it interesting. And I've heard this from Kearney too, Giannis. I want to go to you. Kearney has said in the past, if Fulham get in the top 6, they're going to stay in the top 6. It's about getting into the top 6. And Kevin McDonald was pretty much saying the same thing, that he feels that if they get in the top 6, they're going to be able to stay there. That they just keep going back and forth. Just when they think they're making progress, they have a setback. So here's my topic for you. Do you think if they can get to the top 6, they can stay there?
I do, but I don't think we've got the players quite yet. I think we're very close. The problem the thing that hurts us is consistency.
Yes.
And
totally.
Is that because the players haven't played long enough? I'm not necessarily buying that. I know obviously we've got the squad, we've got peripheral players, we sent players out on loan, you get injuries, boom, boom, boom. We're a little bit of quality short. The question is where? I still would point to our strikers. I think we need, with the greatest respect to Mr. Martin, we need better strikers. And I think that's what would put us over the top. So in terms of the close season, regardless of what happens this year, the ownership have got to take a real good look at this. Firstly, Slavic should sort out his contract.
Totally.
But in the transfer deadline, we had opportunities to pick up some good players here, strikers to come in, and all we got was Syriac. And now I know there are a couple of
Let's give him a chance.
But is he going to be the person that's going to take us to the next level? I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
So there are players that could, and our rivals around us bulked up heavily, and we didn't. So to make us a consistent team, so that if we get in the top six, we stay there, I think we need to be have slightly better.
Swatted again.
Oh my god.
Guys, seriously, I'm getting worried about you. I'm just kidding.
slightly better personnel, whether it's, you know, and I think it's the striker position. But I agree with their notions. I think we're very close. I think once we get there, we'll be what I call perennial. But it's just a matter of getting the right players in. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, as I said, I've said to you before, Russ, are there free agents out there we could pick up now that maybe could make a difference? Or is there somebody out there in the summer that we can pick up and, you know, and take us to that next level? I'm not sure. I just don't think we've quite got the players there yet. We're one or two players short.
Okay. So for you, you don't think that we can get to the top six?
You know what? We need a tremendous run this summer. And I don't think we got it. I hope we do. Convinced that we do.
Okay. Guy, I'm going to give you the final word on this topic. You know, again, I have watched the video and I've heard Tom Kearney say it, but this was from Kevin McDonald. Said, hey, listen, I'm paraphrasing. If we get in the top six, he thinks that they could stay in there. You know, he feels confident they can. How about you?
At this rate, no. If we buck our ideas off and actually find some consistency, it wouldn't surprise me. What I'm really worried about is the state of the top six. Not just, you know, us, but the teams around us, you know, Derby, Sheffield, all of that. Especially with Sheffield Wednesday away as the last proper game of the season.
That's a tough one. Yeah, that's a great point. That's the last match of the season. So what they really need, and Giannis, you already said this, until they get a winning streak, you know, they're gonna have these ups and downs. You know, that's what really frustrated me, guys, about this match. And I don't know, you know, it's funny. I'm kind of with you guys. I do think that if they could get there, that maybe it would galvanize them that they could stay in. But it's a tough one because right now they just need to get there, and they need a winning streak to get there. So I'm glad that Kevin McDonald and Tom Kearney feel confident that once they get there, they can stay in there. But they need to get there first. Let's get there first. Okay. And then, you know, that's the way I'm looking at it. Can they get there? That's the question right now. Once they get there, can they stay there? Maybe. Maybe they obviously feel confident that if they can get there, they can stay in there. But let's see if they can get there first. All right. Great show, guys. Fantastic show. But we do have to wrap this up. For Guy Rolfe and Giannis Chinaz, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.